Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
To the Challenge Double Agents Wrap Up Podcast for episode 5. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Ali Asher. Ali, how are you?
The way the women are dropping from the challenge, I'm worried I'm about to be deactivated or declassified or something from this podcast soon.
No, we can't have that. Can't lose you too. Too many people.
I mean, yikes. But we are back and I'm excited. Sort of.
Yeah, great episode. I thought it was a great episode, not a great episode. I was into it. I had a lot of fun.
No, Mike.
You not?
Mike Bloom once famously said, if you like stop doing the podcast, then when you come back, it like makes it seem like everything's okay when things are bad. So like, I almost feel weird. Like things are still bad, but I won't keep harping on it. I actually just want to shout out the people who reached out to us to let us know that they appreciated having a show last week. It really does. It's not expected that you would reach out, but it really does. Make it a little bit better. So thank you to everyone for the love. And yeah, like this was a really fun episode. So I'm excited to talk about it with you, Brian.
Yeah, roller coaster of emotion all the way through. And luckily we have Big T here to, you know, send us into 2020 properly.
Oh my God. I mean, Chrissy, I don't know how up you are in Chrissy Teigen if we start needing a Teigen minute here, but
we might, because I don't know anything.
Chrissy Teigen has gotten really into wearing like crystals on her face in quarantine.
I thought you were going to say she got really into watching The Challenge, and I'm like, oh boy.
No, she's more of a Bravo gal, like your mother. right, that sounded like a your mother joke. But
I was like, say, that's like it's a your mama joke, but like factual.
but no, the great PBS. But Big T's look, I think I already talked about how obsessed I am with the headband that she was wearing because I think she wore it in a prior episode. But people are saying, why don't we do a video podcast? Nobody really needs that. But the event that we do, I'm coming bedazzled, full head to toe.
I can't do a video. I like looking away. I don't want to look at a camera. I think it's dressed there. I would very strongly anti video podcast.
This was supposed to be more about the bedazzling than the possibility of a video podcast.
Well, I don't want that floating into the atmosphere and people jumping on it. No. I like my audio version.
No, I mean, listen, we barely get here, people. We barely get here. But no, that was totally not the point. But anyway, I was excited really from last week to see what would happen with the Fessy fallout this week. And I wasn't disappointed.
Yeah, I'm glad they kind of jumped right in. Sometimes the challenge might like yada yada stuff or skip over stuff until they actually it becomes relevant again. But I'm glad they jumped right into it, showing Corey confronting Fessy. And, you know, he wants Fessy to stop using the F word when describing Nelson because he's no longer a friend.
It's interesting. I'm going to give a hint of props to Fessy for coming up with the yarn he was spinning that like, well, I was losing a friend either way, so I was sort of saving Josh. I chose Josh over Nelson. It's not like I chose myself over Nelson. And while that's pitiful, it's a thought. You had a thought.
Yeah, I just wish he should have just steered into the fact of like, I only did this for my skull. Like everyone else would have done it the same thing. There was no reason to like bring friendship. Like this was just, you know, he should have said, I screwed up the first time that I should have went in. And I wasn't going to do it again. I had a chance. I'm going to take it. And I feel like that's all you needed to say, just to fully defend it. But he still got defensive with the friendship and going to the baby shower, or the gender reveal. Just jump into I wanted the skull. And that was it.
There was an Instagram post he put that he did like a talk to me like AMA on Instagram. And it said, did you regret going in the elimination with Nelson? Honest opinion. he said, and so I kind of expected him to do more of this, what's in my hand when I'm about to read, than what he did on the show. But I guess he's had a lot of time to think about it and come up with a better response now than he did on the show. Mm-hmm. He said, the move was selfish, and sometimes I take winning too seriously because I know what this money could do for my family and I know my abilities. Nelson and I had a falling out this summer and didn't talk for months before the season and called each other a couple of days before we left to make sure we were good, and we agreed. Now, I'm much more interested in what the falling out was about than the next 500 words he writes, but, you know.
That's a good question.
Even though we didn't strategize in the house, we knew we were not going to vote each other out, which we did not. I'm sorry. Roll the tape. I feel like there was plenty of footage of them strategizing in the house.
Yeah, definitely. They were part of the, they were a crew.
That was crazy. I believe we were truly going to look out for each other, and for that, I'm sorry I did what I did. It was a split second decision and not premeditated. That I do believe. Corey has trouble believing that on the show.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the way they depicted it. That Fessy went up to Tori and was like, if it's something physical, like, take it. It definitely didn't seem like this was something he was plotting, at least for days and days.
Yeah, so he says, it was a split-second decision and not premeditated. The decision was made when I saw the hall, and I always wanted to compete in that, which I feel like there's evidence of that, too, on the show. Like, we knew that from before.
Mm-hmm.
There was no animosity behind it. If I could take it back, I would. Let's see how the rest of the game goes. The game got the best of me, and I knew there were only 5 gold skulls for guys, and 2 were already taken. He unclear if he doesn't understand the premise of the show or if that's revealing about the rest of the season. I didn't mean to put my hand in his face. Okay, yada, yada. He's sorry, people. Fessy is sorry.
Trying to do damage control for season 36-7. I don't remember what's next. Whatever the next one is, that's what he's doing damage control for.
So at the end of last week, we talked about, like, Corey, you know, does it really behoove him to come after Fessy? Like, you feel like he still should be keeping him in his pocket. And I think Corey rationally is intelligent enough to want to do that. Like, he says, like, people are telling me to be smart. But he genuinely is so close with Nelson that I don't think he can help but go off at Fessy.
Yeah, and plus, probably people would have seen through it. Like, obviously, Corey would have. Like, everyone knows now that Corey can't trust Fessy, so if he's, like, faking going along with it, I think people would see through it, so you might as well just steer into it and just, you know, be real. And that might gain you more trust from other people because it shows you being real, not, like, trying to fake it for someone.
Agreed. I think Fessy shockingly handles this terribly. What do you think the future holds between Corey and Fessy? Jumping ahead, we see Corey basically burn a vote on Fessy. I want to believe that that vote was like a strategic burn vote. And he's like, well, I have the excuse that I can keep voting for Fessy. But or do you think that this is blind loyalty to Nelson?
Probably a little bit of both, that he could just, you know, burn a vote and that it's loyalty. But I don't think this is gonna be like a weekly thing. I don't think every single week Corey's just going to vote for Fessy. I think he had his, you know, the emotions were still high here. He could just do it here. But I don't think now every single week he's going to go after Fessy. But I also don't think for the rest of the season, there'll be a moment of them reconciling. But I think going forward in a future season, I think we've seen people squash much further beefs than this. So I would not put it past them to kind of come back together, whether it's next season or the season after. So I definitely want to put it past that.
I'm worried. I don't know what the future of Corey and Nelson and Fessy holds. I think I hope that Corey is able to leverage Fessy here. I don't know what will happen. He worried. I'll say he conservatively, he worried me on this episode, the way he acted, but he didn't cross the line where it was unreasonable. Although the peanut gallery was doing a lot to say, like, Fessy just expected to be forgiven. He wasn't sort of willing to do the work. So maybe Fessy is going to take it hard that Corey's coming after him.
Yeah. I think the dust will settle in the next couple episodes. And I think that'll really tell the story of where their relationship lies, because clearly here they were going to still be enemies, and maybe probably even next week it'll be there, but we'll see down the road if, you know, maybe they come together and they find a common enemy to go after, and hopefully it's Josh, because we can just get Josh out of this game.
From your lips to God's ears. Well, let's talk about Josh in this moment. I mean, if there was ever a moment to just be quiet, it would be now.
Yeah, I mean, we could all, like, be making fun of Fessy of how horrible he handles confrontation, and then all it takes is Josh stepping up, and, like, Fessy now all of a sudden is in the right. Because Josh pretending that he wanted to go in, and now he's so hurt, and he's hurt by Tori. Like, he did not want to go in. He probably would have lost. Like, Nelson only really lost because Fessy's just, like, like he's great at this type of stuff. I think Nelson beats Josh. Josh would cry and like he loses everything. Like Josh stinks, and like he, the fact he has to even make this about like, this was not about Josh. This was about Fessy screwing over Nelson and Corey's like right in the middle of it, being like friends with all of them. This is not about Josh, and he made it about him, which is so frustrating.
Are ringtones still a thing? I would love Josh Stinks to be my ringtone, and like the nice Long Island emphasis on stinks. It's really beautiful. And he does stink, so it's true. Yeah, I mean, this is the problem with Josh again, when people are like, oh, you don't like Josh, whatever. Like, this is still called reality TV, and I am absolutely not under the assumption that these are real people who come on television to be real. But what works on this show, and this is what I think Tori is suffering with, is authenticity. So either be a great actor, and I think Devin struggles with this a little too. He like sometimes seems really authentic and I like him. And then sometimes, like, we'll talk about it. I feel like in this episode, it gets a little fake for the camera for me. So Josh is not good at acting. So like, I don't understand how anyone likes Josh. It's so transparent. It's like my eyes get so far lodged in the back of my head from an eye roll watching this. I don't find it fun.
No, because I feel like we've just been doing this now for like a few seasons with him. It's the same story year after year. Like when he first comes in, it's like, oh, okay, you know, big personality from Big Brother. We'll see how he does. But he just hasn't like adjusted. He's the same person every single season. It's the same stuff every year. So at a certain point, it just gets so tired.
And you know it's fake. Like, there's no world. And every, his friends are saying, Josh, you never want to go into an elimination. Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. So to me,
which also is fine. It's fine. Like, yeah, I was gonna say it's fine to want to not go into elimination. Like, that's a point of it also. But he steers into everything to make himself the victim in every situation. And that's what's so frustrating.
And it's also, it serves no purpose too, because again, it's not like he's saying, I'm going to make Fessy feel bad so that he feels more loyal to me. He feels like he owes me one. Fine. It's clearly I'm going to get camera time by screaming at someone because Fessy is claiming to defend Josh. Corey has no relationship with Josh, and Josh is now putting himself against Fessy. What does that get you? Nothing.
Maybe this will be giving him even a lot of credit. Is he trying to build up all these bitter feuds? So like eventually in Rivals 3 or 4, he's now maybe he's paired up with Wes or he's paired up with Fessy. Like at least he's shooting for the big guns to get a good partner.
I mean, I don't even think it's partner. I think it's like, this is how I make a name. This is what I bring. I smash the pot and pans on Big Brother. I come here and I make fights and I'm not afraid to like go tip top toes with the big dogs. And I think you're right, to his credit. Like he does get himself forced into these arguments with these big players so he stays relevant. Like when he was fighting with Gus, again, you know, take a drink every time I mention that fight with Gus. But when he's fighting with Gus, and new and old viewers will say Gus, exactly. He was fighting with someone who was clearly one and done, a relevant challenger at a reunion. And it's like, okay, that was a mistake. Now he knows, like, I need to chop it up with the big dogs. I don't necessarily think it's just to get a rivals partner. I think it's just to have purpose on the show and get airtime.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'd respect it if it was to get a partner, but it's like so just clearly to bask in the glow of the camera. And like, we don't want to see you. That's mean. But
no one does.
I don't. Some people do.
No, we don't.
We don't.
Really? There are. I feel like they're very few and far between, the Josh stands. I feel like they're dwindling by the day.
I think people are in a very much like, I love to hate Josh. Like, I like having him on to hate him. And I can understand that. And although it's well established on this podcast that I don't really go for the love to hate people. But like, my love to hate people are like Wes. I love him because he's strategic and he's funny and he works the camera well. But then he's an a-hole and you're like, God damn it. Like, you make it hard to like you. Josh isn't strategic except to get airtime. And it's so transparent that it's like, you're not a real person. I don't know. After all of the TV Josh has done, I have no idea who this man really is. And we want to at least feel like we know him watching the show.
Mm-hmm. And on the opposite end of the spectrum is the person we love to love. And that is Big T, who is finally doing something that this show, that people have been preaching about for years, which is rallying the rookies to overthrow the vets. And Big T is leading the charge with the two Ambers and Gabby ready to make their move.
Yeah, I also want to give some credit to Amber M here, because it's going to become a big, big T show and she deserves it. But really, for Amber M's first season, especially given that like she's been attacked viciously by Devin, I think she really holds her own strategically in this house with the itty bitty small committee.
Yeah, all four of them really seem to have a good head on their shoulders about, you know, knowing, like, not knowing their spot, but like knowing how to navigate as rookies, not drawing attention to themselves, but also standing up for themselves when confronted. They're all doing a fantastic job. And I think it helps also the it still helps the way this season is set up with wanting to go into elimination and needing to get skulls. That still skews towards helping rookies because they're not as cannon fodder to go in, but at least they're steering into it and playing it properly.
And what I love is it's not the Joseph, like, or the Josh of the I'll just attack the biggest dog, hope I survive, and hope they bring me back. It's like, no, they've made a legitimate friendship. They've made good relationships with people outside of their legitimate friendship. And we watch them work a really impressive social game and pick the exact right spot when Big T's in power. So I thought this was like really expert play by everyone involved, particularly Amber M and Big T. Moses says, rate the itty bitty small committee, IBSC, among the named challenge alliances.
It's great. And it's one of those things that really can live on as long as like a couple of them are in there. And then on a new season, new rookies come in, like the Young Bucks. Like I could see recycled people coming into that. And all of a sudden, like there's like seven of them. We look ahead like three seasons and it's a huge, big, it's a big itty bitty committee.
The IBSC doesn't roll off the tongue like TYB, but I like the itty bitty small committee. I also like it's sort of the Rob Cesternino school of alliance names is you never use a number like the Holy Trinity. That's a mistake because there can only ever be three of them and it's exclusive in nature. Anybody can join the itty bitty small committee. Like you're saying, the Young Bucks, like that's not just three people. That can be anyone. So I like the I'm trying to think of what other names come to mind, but I think the itty bitty small committee
well, was what the. Which color? What was the color? It was like the pink room,
the lavender ladies.
That was good.
Yeah, it's hard not to bring in like who is a part of each alliance too with it. Like right now, the itty bitty small committee is the most beloved of the groups. Like the other members of the other alliances have their value, but they also have their challenges. So right now, I feel like with the four of them, no one's been canceled yet. Like everyone feels good. Yep. We're all happy.
Yep.
So it's as a podcaster, it's very fun to say itty bitty small committee.
It's a bit of a tongue twister too.
Oh, you know that?
I think
that
so.
IBSC? Itty bitty small committee? I love it.
It's solid. It's a good name. It's a very good name. Who first came up with it? Was it Amber M?
I think it was Amber M. But it's a vibe. It was mutual.
There you go.
Big T though. The itty bitty small committee does not make itty bitty moves. Big T, actually, I'm just hitting me now that Big T is like the head of the itty bitty small committee, which is hilarious.
Right.
Big T conspires to take out Tori and Anissa, that she's going to manifest getting them into an elimination together. We see how this move works out, but if you can imagine yourself in a younger Brian shoes about 2 days ago, what did you think of this idea from Big T?
It's very ballsy. It's very aggressive. And I love it. I just cannot believe, like, I feel like I've said this every week now, but I cannot believe episode 5, Big T is so far and away the star of the season. And if we did like, instead of the must lose draft, if we did like the star of the season draft, Big T would have been like one of the last few, like who would have thought Big T with all of these like new people coming in with like Natalie, of all these big stars now coming in. She is so far and away the star. And it's so fun to see with how her progression has come. She could have been along the sides of Gus. She could have been a one and done and never heard from again, and now here she is, like almost like the face of the women on the challenge right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, she's got star quality, man, and it's not just the headband and the bedazzled face. Like she and what really impresses me about Big T this episode, when she's at the club later and we get Big T 2.0 at the club strategizing. So her first go at it with the unholy trinity of Nani and Jenna and Kayla, who are not on the show. Like Big T, we gave her props for trying, but I was pretty hard on her social game in that moment. And I remember that and I never remember anything. So I remember that because I was like, that was pretty bad. And I worry about Big T. Big T 2.0, this episode, I mean, I know she's had a great season, but really this episode, I was very impressed with her strategizing and the way that she worked. We'll talk through it probably the whole episode because it's very subtle throughout the whole episode. The way she makes it like it's the house's idea. She like gives everybody else credit for her idea, but she calls her shot right away. The way she maneuvers with CT, the way she talks about it at, the crater, like, I don't think Big T made a single mistake. And I think maybe this is a hot take, maybe not, that she's coming in next week with zero blood on her hands from this move, despite being the one who absolutely made the move.
Yeah, I don't think Anissa is coming back into this house being like, all right, well, I'm going after Big T. Like, I have to avenge Tori. I totally agree. I don't think she's doing that. And I think she played this so well every step of the way. It was fantastic. It was fantastic to watch. And a lot of people can learn from her because a lot of people get the power hungry and they kind of lose track of themselves. And I don't know, maybe it still could help Big T that she still has this like underestimated nature that people don't fully take her seriously when like she's plotting and scheming. But I think now, like, people have to take her seriously because if Big T has her sights set on you and she gets power, she at least knows how to execute. And a lot of people don't know how to do that.
Certainly not Fessy, for one.
That's for one.
Let's talk about Tori and Anissa's friendship, because I remember when they announced that there was the official challenge podcast coming out with Tori and Anissa, I was pretty surprised. Not because I think they're surprising choices, like Tori has her own podcast and her own brand and like does a lot of work in that space. And Anissa's funny as hell and like it keeps it real and is great. So I wasn't surprised that in a vacuum you'd consider both of them, but I was surprised to see them together. And then this season, we really get culminating this episode that this season is the story of their like extremely close best friendship. And I was just honestly, despite how unlikable I think Tori ends up being, I was really liking this moment for female friendship, and especially when juxtaposed against Anissa with Nani last season, that I was happy to see Anissa get some love from Tori.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see friendship, but I guess this must have been
friendship.
This must have been something that really developed like in between seasons, right? Because I don't really recall them being that close in any prior season. So this must have been like an extended friendship that they developed between seasons, right?
I mean, I don't recall. Not at this time.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's good, good to see them being super close. Apparently, Teresa also was initially like really close with them too, and at least Teresa pretended to be. Teresa's in an interesting spot. It seems like next week will be kind of her breakout episode, but it's at least for Tori and Anissa themselves. Yeah, I mean, it's, building each other up.
With Teresa, when you are telling who are supposed to be your closest allies that you're going to throw a vote, you're in trouble. I was not surprised to see that Teresa's going to be in trouble moving forward.
Yep.
That's not a strategy. Oh, I'll tell my closest alliances I'm going to burn a vote. Okay. Well, I'll burn you next week.
Burn vote came real roaring back this week.
And I think we're in for a lot of burn voting in the future, I think. Fortunately or unfortunately. Because now I think the votes revealed, I think, has sort of worn off the mystique of that.
Although, as we saw with Leroy, sometimes be careful who you burn on, especially when you're burning on yourself.
What did, was that a burn, though?
That's what he said.
Okay, a lot of people say a lot of things.
I take the show as gospel and as truth, and he said it to the camera, I'm burning my vote, so I'm taking it as burning his vote.
Okay, Leroy. Let's talk about the challenge. Well, first, I guess we talk about how Natalie is not cleared to play.
Yeah, that was stunning. Like, I feel like this is the kind of second or third time I've said it on the show, but I'm very rarely stunned watching the challenge, and that came out of absolutely nowhere. It was announced that Natalie had to be deactivated. The show says that she has a personal matter at home, and she has to leave.
I do love that she gets probably the most emphatic "we will see you again" from TJ that we've seen in recent seasons, where it's like, I am positive that we will see you again in the future, which the audience needed to hear.
Yeah, because I was very upset. I thought Natalie was really starting to get into her groove and she was in a good spot. I think this was her season to lose it at this point going forward. So it was shocking. And I'm sure a lot of girls were secretly kind of happy because that door was wide open for one of them to win.
Yeah. So let's talk about what happened. There was an Us Weekly exclusive article written by Emily Longaretta. And that Natalie Anderson reveals she had to leave the challenge because she was pregnant, suffered miscarriage upon arriving home. Least importantly, I want to emphasize that once again, we have synergy with the New Girl episode that Akiva and I talked about on New Girl, Old Guy. And I'm sorry, that's getting weird. Drones in the last two episodes, pregnancy in the episode we just talked about. So, you know. Do I control everything? I don't know. But more importantly, so yeah, Natalie found out that she was 8 weeks pregnant. The way they found out was that she was talking with her twin sister, who was also on Survivor in the Amazing Race with her, and she's trying to have her second baby. And Natalie was like, oh, I'm late for my period. Like, maybe we'll both have babies when we get home. Ha ha. And production was like, time for a pregnancy test. Very interestingly, this article talks about how she never got a pregnancy test. She got 15 COVID tests and like no pregnancy tests. A lot of questions, Brian, on after Mel last season was pregnant the entire time and had a healthy baby after competing in the full challenge season. And now Natalie was pregnant. When are they going to start pregnancy testing these people? Giving these people pregnancy tests.
It's crazy. I mean, it's not like this is a new show. Like, these people, this show has been around for so many years, and these, like, they deal with a lot of people that are kind of promiscuous. They could be doing stuff. Not that Natalie's this, but other people, like, I don't know. How do you not, like, have that as the first thing you do going into this? I'm saying for everyone's safety. How do you not like join a competition show where you're going to be falling from skyscrapers? You're not making sure everyone is in like clean health to get cleared to go. I don't understand it from a liability thing. Shouldn't that be the first thing you do?
Yeah, it's very surprising. Natalie was obviously surprised. She talks. It's definitely read this article. She talks about dealing with sort of like being in game mode and not being with her boyfriend and feeling like very upset about leaving the game and then getting home and being with her boyfriend and getting adjusted to the fact she got pulled from the game and being really happy and being proud. As she said, I didn't throw up once. I was living this crazy household with a bunch of lunatics and competing in these challenges. Not once did my body fail me, and just feeling like really in awe of herself, which she should absolutely feel that way. And then, sadly, she went through a miscarriage and she talks about that experience. And so shout out to Natalie for speaking about that and, being public about what is a very common experience for women. And so very, very sad for her. Happy that we get the assurance that she will be back on a future season if she wants to be. And if we know Natalie, she wants to be.
Yeah, I would think so. It was very sad. Were you surprised that, I mean, they were so like, they had this article ready to go the second the episode ended. I think they actually posted it like in the middle of the episode, like when she is eliminated. Were you surprised the challenge didn't just like show it on the episode that like, this is why she went home? If they were, if they had this ready to go to announce it. So why wouldn't they just tell the people watching?
Well, I feel trapped, Brian, because before we got on the podcast, we said that we were surprised that there was no mention. But as I thought about it while we were recording, I feel like they've sort of done this before where if there's like something that happens later that like Us Weekly gets an exclusive. I guess the question is, would they have been able to like cut a confessional of her explaining the situation? I'm okay with it. Maybe this is how Natalie wanted to handle it. Like, who knows? Again, I did say I was surprised before we got on the podcast, but I've since kind of changed my mind.
Yeah, I just figured if she was like, they were about to like come out with it, I'm sure a lot of people at home would be like, is someone sick? Is someone dying? Like, obviously with COVID, is something going on? Like, I was just weird that they just would leave it hanging like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely weird, right? Because it's not like normally we'll hear there was a family emergency or grandpa died and like they deal with that situation or you're injured or whatever. I don't recall another situation where someone like left for like anonymous reasons or unknown reasons. I guess DM was like rushed to the hospital, but again, that was like medical. Okay, well, all the best to Natalie and her boyfriend, and like TJ, I'm positive we'll see her in the future, and I truly, truly can't wait. All the drafts are void, though, I'll say.
Yeah.
Except the must lose draft where I had Natalie, baby. I know how to pick a loser.
Unbelievable.
It's believable. You've known me for long enough. It's believable.
It is crazy though. You come into like we thought like I think like with Jenny potentially being on the season, Natalie, like they lost Tori, we lost Ashley, now she's back, but it, like a lot like all of a sudden like Cam, Casey, like the door is just like wide open for one of them to really win the season. I think it's right there for them.
Well, let's talk about Ashley coming back. Three agents had been deactivated outside the crater. I'm starting to now, it's almost like the Mitch watch where the more the spy lingo that TJ forces on us, it's now like I love it. I almost feel like I'm babysitting a kid and like having to make up an imaginary game. And this is what I would be like, three agents have been deactivated outside of the crater. I'm triggering a security breach. Like that's like, it's like, sounds like you're playing pretend in a basement with a child.
Security breach was unbelievable. I'm surprised they didn't have like sirens blaring in the background and like Ashley jumping a fence and running through. I'm surprised they didn't go all out like with everything they've been doing.
I would have been here for it for sure, because now I'm a part of it. But what I like about it maybe is that they're not doing that. That it's literally TJ in like regular hot guy clothes being like, I am triggering a security breach. Like it's not like he's in a walkie talkie being like, swarm, swarm.
Right.
Is that what spies do?
Unbelievable. I think so.
I'm quoting the library cop, or I'm quoting a cop in Seinfeld. Swarm, swarm. Anyway, Adam wants to know, is Ashley coming back into the game, quote, fair? Adam, I thought we told you not to worry about fairness in the challenge. Maybe you're new here.
Right.
Is Ashley coming into the game fair, and how far in advance was this planned? One would assume she would have had to fly straight home due to quarantine purposes, but instead she never left location. Is this a twist that was premeditated or just a faulty excuse to justify getting more episodes out of a highly paid cast member? Love the podcast. Thank you, Adam.
So who's a highly paid cast member, Ashley or Natalie?
No. This is all about Natalie's gone. Forget about her. This is all about Ashley.
But like, I think the question there is great. Like, I don't know how this happened logistically. Like, are they keeping everyone there the whole time until the season's over, or actually fly back? Like, that is something I really don't understand how they pulled off. Unless she was on the plane, landed, and she like didn't get out of the plane and the airport had to turn right. Like, I don't know how logistically they could have pulled this off with everything going on.
I mean, I feel like there's a way to know this. Right. Like I would point people to the Nisa and Tori podcast. I'm sure they talk about this. I don't know. Like maybe like we don't know if they're doing any. I know this like happened on The Bachelorette. Right. Like someone came back and people were like, was he there the whole time? Was it planned? Whatever. Yeah. Presumably there's no way she did a 2-week quarantine in between when she left and came back. Are they keeping people in the event that they need alternates? Did they just keep the first person eliminated in the event they needed an alternate? Is the first guy eliminated also sticking around? Are they keeping everyone and going to do like a rushed reunion at the end there and then send everyone home? Like, I just don't know. I don't know, Adam, but let's talk about whether we're happy to see Ashley. Is it fair? Is this how they should have handled it? What do we think?
Is it fair? I mean, they've done worse than this. Like, they had Teresa come back, like, right at the final, basically. So at least this is very early on the season. So is it fair that, like, I think it's fair because it's the challenge. So I would put that aside. But would I want this? I don't think it's I don't know why it's even necessary. Like, just if Natalie's gotten, like, when other people have gotten evacuated for this season, they didn't do it. So just she's gone. I don't see why they had to bring someone in to replace her.
I wonder if it's like enough already with like guys eliminate. Like at some point there are no women skulls and you can't be getting rid of women when you have three women gone. Like that's sort of like when people get three women get medevaced from Survivor, let's say, then great. People continue on and you vote people out week after week. But here where you need to do an elimination to get someone a skull, if you keep losing people and no one's getting a skull, then you're going to have a problem.
Do you think Natalie having a skull and now there's like if someone else had it, like do you think that would have played out? Now there really is five still that they needed to divvy out. Do you think that
maybe that's exactly it. And I was sort of like, ugh, like it's really just the first person eliminated. But then when they spun it to like Ashley was eliminated by Natalie, so we reactivate Natalie. Okay. That's lucky, but I'll take it.
Do you think now there's going to be like deep layer thinking of like, ooh, let me lose an elimination to like a hot-headed person. So maybe they get in a fight and they get sent home and then I actually come back. Is that like the next level thinking of the challenge?
That's so like 2016, Brian. I feel like that. Who's getting eliminated now for fighting. Don't at me. I don't care. But that used to be a very, very common occurrence. And I feel like it's a much less common occurrence. Which guy is most likely to untie a woman's shirt and get sent home? Which woman looks pregnant? No. I mean, Ashley's very lucky. As a viewer, I'm fine. I don't particularly love Ashley, but I think she got a lot of great moments in this episode to remind you if you were on the fence, like her strategy at the crater to be like, you should cheer when you see who you think is going to win, then start cheering for that person. I love that. That's Ashley shit for you.
Yeah. And very smart and kind of, you know, that's pretty smart to do.
And we've heard it all. We have not heard that before. You know, like it seems obvious, but not everyone does it.
Especially as you said, was you have a distinct voice. Let it out there.
What do you think? You know, Corey gets rid of Natalie, gets Ashley. Is this a upgrade, downgrade, or a nooch?
I mean, it's definitely a downgrade, but it's not like a significant downgrade because at least Ashley is still. I mean, she's Ashley Millionaire Mitchell, so she's competent in her own right. But Natalie's like, you know, next to the Olympian, probably is the best athlete there. So. Definitely a downgrade.
Yeah, I mean, for almost any other person, I'd say it's an upgrade based on experience alone, but Natalie has great strategic chops from Survivor, so it's like, you know, it's an upgrade, a downgrade. But not a huge downgrade. Like, I think it's okay. I think Corey remains in a good spot.
I love the, because I feel like we haven't heard the other nickname that Hurricane Ashley, that was like her original for a nickname from the Real World when they were on together. So it was funny to see them kind of paired together going back to their Real World days.
Corey participated in voting Ashley out, or did he vote for her? I think they unanimously voted her out.
I think it was unanimous. I think it had to be unanimous probably, right? So
I don't know. But I prefer Smashley. Let's not go all the way back to Ashley.
So do I. Yeah, Smashley's even, I don't even like the Millionaire Mitchell. That's like a lot of words. Smashley is perfect.
Let's talk about the challenge itself, the daily.
Yeah, so this was Agent Down. Basically, the core of the challenge was the female partner was hanging over a ledge and the guy had to hold them up as long as possible. And to start it, they had to collect the rope, which I guess was the string, like the what held the woman off the edge. But I still don't really know what the rope was for, but the gist of the challenge was the guy holding the girl over the edge as long as possible.
Yeah, in theory, I like the challenge. It's over the water. It's running two heats. It's physical. It's a partnership thing. I think it flopped for a couple of reasons.
What were they?
Well, a couple people brought this up. Andrew and Mike Christensen brought this up. This is Andrew's question, but same vibe. Do you take any issue with the daily being a damsel in distress challenge, even though it was a women's day? I mean, far and away, you know, Big T says like CT won this and Tori's like, no, like if you didn't have the body that you have, you wouldn't have won. This was primarily a men's challenge, so much so that I wonder if this was intended for a men's elimination day, but because of the lopsidedness, they've like had to use it.
Certainly possible. Certainly possible.
Do you, I mean, I could keep going, but.
Oh, yeah, I thought you had a couple of.
I didn't really understand the mechanics. I understood what you're kind of saying is like the idea, even if it was just visual, was that by like pulling all the rope through, your partner's not going to swing. I really didn't like that you had to do the element of like deciding how long you thought the other side would go. It just felt like a huge advantage for the other side. And then finally, There, it was just unclear, like, what the women had to do. Now, Casey says, whenever the platform dropped in the daily, the edge of it created another ledge that girls of a certain height could stand on. You could see Teresa standing on it. Sorry, not really a question, just complaining on how fair the show makes the challenges. Like, yeah, like, a certain Teresa, work smarter, not harder, as Gregory said in the comments, was standing on a ledge.
I didn't even notice that. That's not great. That's you know, beating the system a little bit, but good for her.
Yeah, good for her. But like, again, it was sort of like I didn't get the point of the challenge. So what did you think? No one cares what I think, Brian.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I didn't really like it that much. I thought there wasn't a lot of interesting stuff there. I wish I know why they do this, so they could create the suspense of announcing the winner, but I totally agree. I wish they just had this in one heat and it was just clear who won. Not that you could really, like, you can't know for certain, like for CT to know exactly how long to hold, but you have a sense. I just wish they just were able to figure out a way to do it all at once, and it just had the drama of like CT and Jay in a battle, seeing who could hold on the longest. I think that would have been much more entertaining than just, you know, TJ saying they won by 5 seconds. So I kind of wish they just did it like that.
Totally agreed. But I was interested in seeing just from the men's, and then we didn't really talk about, I guess, like, you shouldn't be going in for a women's day on a challenge where you literally couldn't do anything in the challenge.
Yeah, that's also quite the bummer.
I love CT and Big T's relationship here. CT in dad mode, I'll come and get you. Let me see your mean face. Show TJ your mean face. Like, it's so cute. And they are the ideal physical type for this challenge. Behemoth man and slender lady.
Yeah, I don't know, like, the history of the challenge, if you could have picked two better partners for this specific challenge than the way that this was worked out. This was perfect. And yeah, I totally agree. Their partnership was great. I even love in the beginning of the episode when Big T, I guess it was right after this, maybe, when Big T wanted to run the strategy by CT, and he was like all for it. He was 100% on board. I love their dynamic. It's great. All here for Big CT.
And then, like, we do, I mean, yes, Teresa was holding herself up, but I do think it's pretty impressive for Jay here, his performance, both with the rope. He finished the rope first over Leroy, then Nam, and then everybody else. So shout out to Jay.
Yeah, great job. You know, Jay, we saw him last season. He impressed a lot of people. I mean, I guess Teresa's being able to stand the ledge does knock it down a little bit, but still pretty impressive overall.
And all my Kyle stands out there who get mad at us. Kyle, also great job in his heat, finishing the rope first, beating Fessy and CT. So mazel tov to Kyle and his stands.
And great job for Nam. I don't know if Lolo was also able to reach the same kind of level that Teresa was, but that was pretty impressive by him, too, to hold Lolo up for that long, too.
Not impressive. Josh pulling some Big Brother BS, like, let go to CT. Like, shut up, Josh. You are not beating CT. Like, you are a baby. You let go immediately. He's like trying to get a deal, just like in Big Brother. You try to cut a deal when you're obviously already losing. Goodbye.
Yep. See you later. I wish they could have swapped it and Josh was the one falling, but alas, they could not.
So as you said, Big T won by 5 seconds. Big CT. CT sees in his partner, Big T, a crazy girl with a lot of heart. Feel like you might see that in your partner on this podcast, Brian. Crazy girl, a lot of heart.
New Twitter bio, perhaps.
Something like that. If only Puya didn't write the most appropriate Twitter bio for me of all time, maybe I would use this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that is Big T. That is Big T. A lot of heart.
I think Big T is getting upgraded to Queen T in the rest of this episode, because Big T is living her GD best life with the crown on.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of saw this a little bit last season when she won, when she was going around at the club trying to get people to sign a side with her when she had a little bit of power. But this was more, she was clearly more comfortable. Everyone was, you know, I love when they kind of create these kind of like skits and stuff at the club or at the house, and everyone kind of, you know, dives in full forward. It was great to see the VIP section, the security, people giving her bottle service. It was just pure entertainment and enjoyment to watch.
And what I love about this is, like, Ashley, it's good on Ashley and good on McT. Ashley brings up that, like, yeah, like, this is a joke, but it's also not a joke. And Big T's, like, using this. And that's what I love is, like, this is extremely impressive that Big T lives it up, wears this big outfit with the crystals, and like, and does everything you're saying, the VIP, and like, it's funny, have everyone kiss the ring, but in that way she's actually able to turn the joke into like, I want to follow the house, what do you think, like doing strategic one-on-ones with everybody in plain sight as a joke actually gets her a lot of information.
Yeah, she was asking great questions. I love when her conversation with Tori, knowing full well that she was planning on voting her in, and she's still asking her, so who do you want to go up against, what would be your top picks, and just, you know, gaining information that, again, a lot of people, when they're in this power, they might have had like their mindset of, right, I'm going after Tori, and maybe they blow up on Tori in the club and start a fight, or they do something else to like blow exactly what they want to do, and they don't gain anything out of it. But at least here, you know, you're gaining information from Tori. And what if Tori wins? You don't want to like make her so angry at you that she clearly wants to go back at you again. So at least you're doing it in a way that, you know, if Tori wins, you can still do it.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
All right, Annie Abrams has a question. Big T may be, quote, small, but is her ability to disarm all the other competitors more powerful than physical strength? I freaking love her, and I hope she becomes a face of the challenge for many years to come. That game face, chef's kiss.
Yeah, she definitely still has that level of people underestimating her because she really isn't that, like, you know, physically overpowering that people, you know, if they wronged her that they'd be that worried about going against her. But I think if she ever got down to an elimination and knocked off someone who's like, if she beat Casey or something like that in elimination, I think all of a sudden going into next season, Big T's, you know, cutesy, like, oh, like, you know, VIP section, I think it would go differently around the house. And I think that would be a lot pretty interesting to see how it goes.
Let's talk about Tori. You talked about Tori a little bit, but like, I just worry that Tori, one of her biggest game weaknesses is on display here while she talks to Big T. Like you said, Big T gets great information out of her, but like Tori only has one speed and zero finesse. And it's very frustrating for someone who I think had such potential to be such a dominant physical and strategic force in the challenge. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, I mean, I don't know if it's blaming Jordan or if it's that she got cocky because she had such a strong early showing in the show, but she just doesn't have any decent social game at all.
Yeah, it's wild to see. She was wildly popular amongst the fans, and I think that took a steep drop this season. And it's interesting. I really hope this is like a turning point moment for Tori when she comes back next season and watches herself here and sees like the reaction from everyone, sees how she's being perceived, and she's able to alter that and not come in with the next season with the same level of attitude, the same kind of arrogance that she has, which again, like I've said, you know, it's okay to be arrogant, but like you have to win stuff. And here, you know, she doesn't win again, losing this elimination. So like, I really hope she comes in next season with, you know, a little more humble, ready to come in and just like, cause she is still one of the strongest females. I just want to see her get back to that and not, you know, going against the weak of the people. And I think she also got caught up a little bit with how last season went down, where everyone was kind of trying to finesse to go against the weak players. And that was just kind of the accepted mindset of last season, where this season is a lot more strategic. People are actually trying to get people out rather than getting themselves in. So I think she kind of just lost track of like the theme for this season amongst the house. And I hope next season, whether the Red Skull twist is back or goes back to the previous way, she's able to kind of just get back to herself.
I do think that's generous, though, because I think Tori, while you're right, generally was very like the most vocal about, I want a weak player. Are you weak? Are you weak? Are you mentally weak, Jenna? Are you going to go home? Are you going to quit? Because then go against me. And it's like, dude, Jenna's going through like a real life, you know, however little sympathy we might have for her now. But like she's going through a real life like trauma for her. And there's Tori just like, yep, 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 yep. And you're like, quit. You want to quit? Quit. Go against me. Quit. Like she's like twitching. It's like, dude, chill. Like I still think for me, she overstepped last season, but I think you're right, it's more apparent this season. And she's saying things to people she doesn't need to say. Like she's talking big game. She's not, the ideal gameplay would be being nice and friendly with everyone, and then yeah, to your friend, if Anissa's in power, saying you want to chop Amber M, fine. But like Amber M has this great line to Tori, like confronts her and says, you're going around telling people I'm weak and not telling me. I take that as you being weak. Mic drop, baby. That was awesome. She really got humbled by all of the rookie girls this whole episode.
She did. She did. And it just, there was this level of like some, like last season, we just couldn't understand people like agreeing, like people agreeing with someone, like, all right, this is when I want to go in. This is who I want to go in against. And this is like when I want it to happen. We just couldn't understand why the house was so okay with that. And it's so nice to see this season. Like people are like, what? No, just because you want to go in this time, shut up. You're not going in. Like you want to go in here, I'm going to fight back. It's so great to see people like defending themselves as opposed to last season where people were just, you know, letting anyone do whatever they wanted the whole time. So this has been very refreshing.
Totally, like Junior Mints. CT trying to build trust here to help Lolo in the future. Did you think he meant the future of the season or like Lolo's going to be back and I want her to feel good about me in future seasons?
I think he meant this season. I think, you know, he's not, you know, he's with Big T now. I think he would stick with her, but who knows? The partners really have been being switched up a lot this season, so who knows where he might land with a different partner later on. So I think he was clear. He pointed out, like, he was target number one going into the season, so he doesn't have a lot of allies. I think he sees Lolo as a potential ally, and I think it was smart. I think it was a great, great strategic move to butter up to someone who's probably going to be in a position of power at some point soon.
And he's got no one and no one owes him anything. And he loses nothing by offering this. Big CT's, Big T's on board. So all of Big CT's on board. Mm-hmm. And no one's going to be looking to help Lolo get a skull. Like you're saying, it seems like people have wised up about keeping people out. So CT has everything to gain by getting Lolo to the final. And I like seeing CT's wheels turning like this.
And what I love from both CT and Big T was how each of them went about that conversation. Because I feel like in other partnerships, if, you know, Big T has this mindset, it's a girl, it's probably going to be a girl's day. She has her mindset. If the guy partner comes to her with like a different plan, you could see this situation blow up between this partner. Like, no, I have my plan. I don't want you scheming with anyone else. I have my situation. I love that first CT like asked Big T, like, is this okay that like I did this? Are you okay with it? And that Big T is like, agrees that she's okay with it. I think you see a lot of other partners where this blows up and it really causes like turmoil amongst themselves. So they have both handled it very well.
Yeah, I mean, I think Big T sees the value in like, yes, the itty bitty small committee is strong and loyal and fierce. They're not putting up wins. And I think you need a team that's going to put up wins, that's going to have your back. So like Lolo, you know, Lolo also same principle. She wants to put Torin and Nisa in because they're strong. Yeah, okay, put Lolo and take Anissa out. It still breaks up the pair. So I think it still accomplishes Big T's goals. And to your point, like, there are a great mature functioning relationship. Like, you could see Wes and Big T and Wes would steamroll and try to manipulate, sort of like mm-hmm. him and D, where it becomes like kind of like a gross, like, I'm grooming you to be my successor. Like, yep. Trust me. Whereas, yeah, he defers to Big D. And in turn, she respects him. It's like a nice functional relationship.
Yeah, he loved to see it.
Yeah, I mean, on television. No, I'm just kidding. let's talk about the deliberation. I love Lolo showing up in the Olympic outfit. The tracksuit, baby. She looks good.
Was it Devin who called it out? I don't remember who called it
Kyle
out.
Kyle called it out. The stands it are going to come for you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Kyle. I'm a big Kyle fan. No, they can't come for me. It was great, though. He's pointed out. Like, by the way, this woman's an Olympian in like, you know, remember, sorry, she doesn't like have like her medals like that she could wear around her neck.
She runs in with a torch.
Yeah. So by the way, this is, you know, you guys may think you're great, but I am actually great.
And look at Gabby here. I'll start. I'm not even on the chopping block, but I'll start and let you know someone who isn't blessed with height is coming around ragging on small girls and you have no idea what we're capable of. Like, I love Gabby here coming to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I thought actually for Anissa, I think she defended herself pretty well, being like not trying to demean them, talking about like, you know, they're weak, they're and all this stuff. So I think she was talking about strictly, you know, using experience, which I think is a very neutralizing word where clearly, you know, the rookies don't have experience. Anissa and some of the other ones do have experience. So that's something you can, you know, you're not questioning someone's strength or weakness. I think there's a great political way to kind of say that, but kind of be saying the same thing, but also saying it in like a calmer way.
Yeah. Here's a, you know, the Venn diagram between Torin and Anissa in the middle is making the point that they don't want to go in, but otherwise mm-hmm. they have nothing else in common here. Like Tori giving the earn a stripe doesn't even quote it right. I was like so disgusted by this attempt. And look, if my back was against the wall and I felt like my game was unraveling and I knew it was going to be me and my best friend, I'm not saying I'd come here with like the perfect social game, but luckily I'm behind a microphone and never going to be on the challenge. So it's very frustrating to me that she starts with the like, I had to earn respect. Like I would just cause I'm a bigger girl. Like I love that Gabby says, like, are you like you're one of us? Like, it's okay. Like you're not all strength is about size. And I gotta say, Brian, I'm no challenge historian, but I don't recall Tori on her first season earning all of this respect. I recall Tori being very smart about who she aligned with and making inroads with the big, strong men of the season, Bananas and Jordan and whatever, and moving forward that way while still performing well.
Yeah,
but she was no like underdog rookie continuing to be thrown in. We praised her strategic prowess.
Yeah, 100%. That's how I remember it.
And don't add us if we're wrong. We don't care. That's how we remember. That's our story, and we're sticking to it.
Perception's reality, and this is our reality.
All right. Did we know that the voting pod was called the Chamber? I feel like I just noticed that for the first time this episode.
I didn't know that until you just said it. So
okay. Well, Perception's reality. It's called the Chamber for the first time this season, episode 5, the Chamber.
How is that in like where does that fit in the spy theme? I feel like it should have been like the Lair or something. I don't know, something cooler.
The Lair. Like the Lair.
Yeah. Although, yeah. I can't pronounce words. English is, you know, it's not great for me.
Out of the clouds. But there's a phrase you said once that Mike Bloom thinks is like the funniest thing ever, and he references it all the time.
Out of the clouds. I think it's out of the clouds or from. Yeah,
instead of like out of the blue, you said out of the clouds. Out of the clouds. It's great. Out of the clouds. Yeah. So out of the clouds, we find out that this is called the Chamber.
Mm-hmm. I said it before. So Leroy says he's burning a vote. And he's burning a vote on himself. And you don't think it was actually him burning a vote. You think he was actually voting for, I guess, Anissa.
Why wouldn't he vote for Anissa here?
I don't know. I mean, look, I know it turned out to be.
And I'm sorry, you think that he didn't know that the entire house was voting for Anissa?
It's possible, like, but Leroy sometimes screws up voting.
You, like, I think everyone knew it was between Anissa and honestly nobody else. Like, the whole house, like, Cam voted for Anissa and Leroy. Cam also burned her vote on Anissa and Leroy? I don't think so. This was a self-vote, and Leroy just doesn't want to look like a D.
I just think, like, I put it out there, the way this episode was going, like, I know it seemed like clearly a girl's day, but it's the chat. Like these people who are on the show, they should know not everything's super clear. I thought this was going to a guy's day. I thought that was going to be like the big pull the rug out from under that moment. And the fact that now they brought in Ashley, so like they kind of evened it back up to the fact that they could now do the switcheroo. I thought this is where it was going.
I would have loved that. But as a viewer, I'd rather see this. I'd rather see some sense of reasonable certainty of how things are going so that they can appropriately strategize. I'm looking forward to and hoping that they do a switcheroo like that. But given that they haven't been able to strategize really with putting women in since the very beginning, I like that this is a format where Leroy can vote for himself and roll the dice on getting a new partner. Like, I think that's more interesting to me than them punishing them for being strategic with the switcheroo now so early.
Yeah, I totally agree. I like that they did this. I was already mentally preparing myself to come in and debate, is it okay that we just watch an episode that none of it ended up mattering and ended up being a guy's day and all the plotting and planning went to crap? And I was already mentally preparing what side of the debate I was going to fall on. So when they said it was the girls, I was like, oh, phew, okay, good. Everything that happened this episode kind of played out. So that's good. I'm glad.
And I'm not opposed to that happening. I think that'll be really fun. But like, let's get these people, like, there's already so many unknowns. And I do think we as the audience end up thinking a lot more is unknown than is. Like, sometimes I think they have a clearer understanding in the house than we do. Anyway, so I was happy with this. Kyle Picard said, can someone vote for their own team to go in? If so, who other than Devin would do this? Kyle, Leroy.
Yep. And another thing to kind of put a pin in and see if it comes back. Very interesting quote from Cam that, oh, look at all these pairs going in against each other, all these best friends voting and going in against each other. It's a good thing me and Leroy can't go in against each other. Let's see if the pairs, those two pairs, have to go in against each other. So let's see. That was an interesting quote. Let's
see. I'd be here for it.
Let's see.
So speaking of, I think Kyle brings up a good point that like this is a very Devin thing to do, and I think more than Leroy is sort of like, oh, I burned a vote, whatever. Devin's owning it. Devin's like, I'm going rogue. My brother wants to know, does Devin actually want to be there? Not sure if he's been a professional troll on previous seasons. My brother, also not a historian of the challenge, but his diary sessions make it seem like he'd rather see Tori lose than himself win. Seems like he's on a path to getting, quote, compromise on the regular. What did you think of Devin's motivation here to just totally screw Tori?
See, it's interesting because I know we hate on Josh, like we hated on Josh in the beginning for doing stuff for TV time. I think it's now very, very clear that the reason why Devin picked Tori was because he wanted TV time, because he's so focused on getting Tori out as a partner when he picked her as a partner. He could have picked anyone and he picked Tori. So the fact that he so clearly wants her out means a lot of that decision was because he knew that would be a good storyline and he can get at least an episode or two of camera time with that, which is disappointing.
So I didn't think about this, but Tom Palmer raised a really interesting point here. I thought the same kind of thing as you. Tom Palmer says, did Devin pioneer the best strategy for the season? Now that he's got a gold skull, is the best move for him to continually screw over his female partner so he ends up the safe rogue agent until the final?
Well, he'll only be a rogue agent once, right? I guess he should continually vote against his partner. Is the move, I guess, what?
Yeah, like, was his real motivation? Like, he kept saying, I want to be rogue. I'm going to be rogue. I'm the rogue agent. Is this because he feels no loyalty to Tori and now he's safe next week?
I mean, that's certainly a plus to be safe, and it seems like a great plus to have to sit out what looks to be like a mini final next week. That seems like a nice break for him. But I mean, it's only going to be safe for 1 week, right? Like, then you're going to get a partner, and then you do it again. You could do it again. Yeah, I mean, look, if this is a recurring thing, then sure, I'll give him credit for thinking that. But I think for this instance, it was just whatever the feud he has with Tori, that's what he was focused on.
So I don't think so. I actually agree with Tom that I'm not saying he'll do it every time, but I think he saw an opening. He doesn't feel any loyalty to Tori. He already has a skull, so it's not like he needs to really win. And that's really the only logic to me, because the feud is bullshit. We've already established that, right? Like, to tank your game over a non-existent feud to me is insane, even for Devin. The camera time argument holds some water to me for sure, especially because he gets smarmy in the booth at the end of like, if I would have told you after 5 eliminations that Devin and Anissa would have a skull, what would you have said? Devin is rogue. Like, that's not a thing. Like, no one cares. Like, no one cares about that. So I do think you're right about that. But I think he is smart enough to say, I want to be rogue. I want to be safe. Because otherwise, why is he sacrificing Tori for a random partner? Like, he could get really screwed. Like, as much as we said, Ashley's a downgrade, 50% of the house would be a downgrade from Tori, at least in the dailies.
Yeah, no, totally. I just think it's, you know, it's still pretty early on in the season to like want to just guarantee safety for a week when there's still so many other guys like out there that are, there's so many other options that are going to be voted in. It's not like they're going to be coming for Devin's skull at this point. Like, I think when we get down to it, like later in the, closer to the final, I do think trying to get safety by voting your partner will be a viable strategy, but doing it for this week when I don't really think Devin would have been very high on the chopping block at all in the next guy's day. So like, it's a benefit, but it's very short term. Like, I just don't see it that big of an advantage.
I don't think it's, let's try this. I don't think I don't think he would have corralled the votes against her at this point, but seeing that the votes were going against her and Anissa, I think he's happy to vote against her and knowing that he'll reap safety and doesn't actually care about being her partner. But I don't think the motivation is like, I'm like Corey and Fessy. Because we talked all last week about how that wasn't even a real fight rivalry between Devin and Tori.
Yeah, I agree with you. He wasn't going to, you know, take the bullet to save Tori, but so he was going to kind of let it go. That I agree with.
In a way, he takes a bullet by voting because like his vote's exposed. But I guess it's more like that's a vote for Big T and CT. Like, they're not going to go say, oh, Devin exposed, like voted against your wishes, because they, Big T, when she sees the votes revealed, says like, OK, these are the people loyal to me. Great. So to run that down, that was Cam, Kyle, Amaram, Meech, Nani, Ashley, Devin, Leroy, which made me LOL. I wrote it in the notes. Amber B, Darrell. Darrell had a lot of great, funny confessionals this season. This episode, it was nice to see Darrell kind of pop off a little bit. Casey, Nam, Lolo, Leo, and Gabby.
Basically the whole house.
What do you think about CT saying that Big T is getting carried away? Tara from Sydney says, what's your take on Big T this season? She's getting good at it. Could she go far? Is this sort of like her going to be her best episode and then she's on the downturn or no?
I don't think she's on the downturn, but I do think that this is probably the best episode we'll ever get from Big T. And I don't rule out a scenario where this could like turn and we could be not hating on her, but I could see a scenario where this becomes grating maybe in a season or two if this continues. But for now, this is, you know, riding high all aboard the Big T train, and we'll take it as long as it goes.
Can you give us a train sound? Oh, that was good.
Thank you.
That was very good. I thought I was on a train for the first time in 10 months.
I heard I was walking by my apartment. I heard like the subway person talking, and I was like, "Oh my god! I don't think I've heard that noise in 10 months." And it like kind of threw me off. This is the train too. I'm like, "Oh my god! Next stop! I haven't heard next stop is freaking March."
I would run. I'd be terrified. I'm too close. All right. So we talk about this. Anise and Tori going into the crater. Kind of a wildly difficult elimination for the crater this week.
Yeah, it reminded me of, I think it was the elimination that Jenna either won in or lost in, when like all they had to do was just like toss out bombs from like a truck, and like that was the entire elimination. It seemed like that, but then they finally realized, oh, we have to add another step to it. And the other step was throwing it at a wall to knock out like a plank. There were a certain amount of planks you had to knock out. Some of them you couldn't knock out, some of them you could. But it was a great elimination. The eliminations, again, I feel like this has been a common theme. Eliminations have been so much better than the dailies. I don't know why they can't kind of find some type of balance.
Yeah, it was nice. It was grand, but it was not, because it's like, you know what it is? It's like the dailies are like overproduced, and the challenges, the crater challenges, have to happen and within certain bounds. So like all you really want to see is people get physical or people like exert a ton of energy and struggle. So like, I mean, the rope was a little short, but I think it served its purpose on screen. And it is very delicious to watch Tori go out because she's too small in the challenge. Yeah.
Did you think that there was any chance that they were going to be like, all right, well, I guess something broke here and we have to reset? Because it was stunning to see Tori struggle so mightily with that, where Nanista got it so quickly. And Tori was like, it really felt like something broke in the challenge.
I don't think that is possible. Like, I think they would fix that. I don't think they want Tori to leave. I don't think that, like, I don't know. I don't think that would happen unless... maybe, but I would be very, very surprised. It's almost like she needed a Jordan there to be like, this is actually how you think about the challenge. I think Tori's issue was she kept trying to brute force it. She was very close and like pulling and pulling and pulling. Like, I feel like Jordan was, for all of his problems, he was very strategic about the way he went about challenges. We talked about that season after season with him. And I think she just didn't see the forest through the trees of like how to actually get it over. She lost the momentum, and then you're just starting from nowhere with it.
Yeah, she eventually at one point tried to just like pull the back of the truck off without using the rope. Like, Corey, I don't think you can do that.
She's like, can I push it? They're like, no. Yeah,
can I just start taking the balls out? Like, do I need to do this, or can I just go? Like, no, you have to do it. Yeah, she didn't know, like, Jordan knows technique about how to do a variety of things. Jordan's probably done this at some point in his life, so he knows how to do a lot of things.
And shout out to like Anissa, but shout out to Tori for coming back from a 10-0 lead to make it 11-9. That was unbelievable. When they started showing Tori doing a comeback, I was like, okay, yeah, like they're going to slow it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be like 10-5 and then she'll win. When they got to 9-11, I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. Yeah.
You know, because Anissa was clearly struggling. So like she was going slower. You could like watch, you could clearly see it. She was having trouble throwing the barrels to hit the top of the, like that top row. I don't think they maybe just had one to hit on the top row. All the other targets were like the bottom level. So if they had a couple more on the top level, Anissa was really struggling to get up there. And I thought I thought she was going to pull it off, but storyline wise, it kind of worked better to see Tori get knocked out like this. But I thought it was going to be the old switcheroo.
Well, with her 10th win, the old bitch still has it. Don't count her out. She's not counting herself out. If you want her skull, come and get it. I love that quote from her. The old bitch still has it. That's going to be the theme of my 30th quarantine birthday party. The old bitch still has it.
I love TJ Analytics Lavin coming out with this is your 10th win, right? Like, TJ Analytics Lavin. Bringing out the stat, you little stat boy over here. That was who wonder what producer told him that.
Jose says, not so much of a question, but can we finally admit that Tori is overrated? She hasn't made the halfway mark these past two seasons. I think War of the Worlds 2 got to her head. Love to hear your thoughts. Well, our thoughts you will hear, Jose.
It's funny. I think there's been now so much hate on Tori. I think people are actually starting to underrate her. I think she herself overrated herself, but I think now people are underrating her because she is still one of the strongest females in the house, but the people are just like tearing her down so much that people are kind of forgetting that.
I mean, she did lose her most recent two eliminations that she was in. I think she is potentially, she, as much as she overrates herself as like part of the big squad who's earned their stripes, big dogs, she underrates herself in how desperate she is to go against a small person in elimination. Like, I almost think if she was more relaxed about it and was more like, I'll take on whoever when it's my time. Yeah, would I prefer a rookie? Sure, but I'm going to, you know, whatever you think. Like, and that would be, look, it's good strategy to try to get your way into an elimination against a beatable person. But I do think it tarnishes your reputation as an athlete when you yourself are, like, only focused on, quote, weak people.
She still have, I mean, that the win over Jenny is still like one of the more shocking elimination wins that she beat her, and not just beat her in Hall Brawl, but like annihilated her. That's right. Still like one of the most impressive elimination wins like I could really ever remember, given like what we saw Jenny do last season. So like, it's hard to shake that thinking about her, thinking about Tori in any type of context.
No, and I think that Tori is still a great competitor. But I think she's losing me as a fan. That's really what it is. I haven't lost any respect for her athletic ability, but I think she could have won this as easily as she could have lost it, you know? But but I am not a fan of hers anymore at this point.
And I think what we also love so much, how highly we rated Tori, was not only her physical, but we thought she was so likable. I was able to like blend in, like her social game would be so good that she wouldn't be like a target, and like all the reasons how she got eliminated this season, like that just didn't seem possible for her when she first started the show. So like that was another kind of peg in her, like why she was so highly thought of, and it's just amazing how it turned.
And I do, this is, we get a glimpse of the Tori we loved where she's like announcing to the house, like put some respect on her name. She whooped my ass. Like, this is who I want to lose to. Like, that's the Tori we love. But then in the afterwards, if you watched like the last few minutes, she says, like, I don't know if they air that on TV too, or if it's just online.
I think it's just online.
So she says, like, I couldn't get it over, and like maybe it had to do with the weighted balls being different than Anissa's, but you know, that's just the luck of the game, so I can't complain. So she's already starting to excuse it, which look, I would be very tempted to do too, so fine. She also interestingly says at the end, but it's okay, I'm going back to Jordan and my cat, and I have a very happy life, and I just hope he's not too disappointed in me, and like smiles. Very strange.
Yikes. But it's funny, you said like Tori's exit kind of reminded you of why you liked her. I thought that was even like even more so of like kind of like the gross like tour, like the fact that she was still on like the put some respect on Anissa's name because she beat the great me. Like, she knocked me out, I'm great, like she beat me. So put respect on Anissa. I thought that was even like worse. Like, I felt like she still wasn't getting it,
I guess, just because, and then later TJ does do it, that like Anissa doesn't get respect, and she is one of the most dominant female like elimination people. So like, I really do think she doesn't get her due and is looked at as sort of not a layup. Maybe they do look at her as like, I don't want to go against her in elimination, but I don't want to go with her to the final. So I liked her saying like, she whooped my ass, and you know, more power to her. Fair enough that it's also a cocky statement. I just was ready to let some love in, Brian.
Right. It's fair. Bring the love.
Let's talk about the mother freaking switch.
Another one.
Is it my time to say I was wrong about the switches?
What was you? What was it? 3.5?
I think no, it was 5. And the bet I made is 5.
All right, so I think what are we at? We're at 3, I guess, right? The 3?
I don't know. I'm so shocked. I did not expect this at all, that Anissa picks Fessy. Ashley says, in what universe does it make sense for Anissa to go back to Fessy?
I don't understand it. It was stunning. I don't understand the logic. Why, like, especially now Fessy is, like, you know, kind of poisoned. Like, this was not Fessy episode 1 where he was pretty likable. Like, he had a lot of alliance. Like, he was well protected. Fessy is, like, almost public enemy number 1. Like, I don't understand. Like, Leroy is a good partner too. So it wasn't like she was stuck with some, like, schlub. Like, she was in a good spot. She has her skull. Like, I don't understand it.
So here's what I like about it. Generally, I felt exactly as you did, but then I started thinking about it and I was like, I do think she has a better chance of winning eliminations with Fessy. That's where granted, one of their eliminations was handed to them, but in her mind, she probably thinks she stands a better chance winning eliminations with Fessy. By taking Fessy and Casey off the board as a team, I think Fessy and Casey are by far a stronger team together, especially given their friendship, than Fessy and Casey, and then Leroy and Casey. So she breaks up probably the strongest team in the house. She gets the strongest guy in the house on her team where she's likely to win, which is really the only way to stay out of eliminations. And who's voting her down? Because people don't want to go against Fessy, and maybe she is thinking, like, I don't want to be in a position where I'm voted in or my partner wants to be thrown in and then it ends up being a girl's day. And by having someone with a skull who's like Fessy, who no one's going to want to go against, maybe that adds more protection to her. Now, or maybe it's to keep your enemies close and friends close, enemies closer, and she doesn't trust Fessy, so she's like, I'll make him work with me too. Like, there are possibilities here. I just wouldn't have done it myself.
Is there any chance she's thinking, like, it seems unclear, like, at least to us, how the final is going to be run. And it's probably unclear to the people in the house how it's going to run. But it seems like they think you're going to be running the finals in pairs. That's how they're constantly talking. You think there's any sense of, like, Anissa's like, let me make sure I have a partner with a skull in case there's some level of twist where you, like, you need a partner with a skull. And at least now I secure the best one with a skull.
Sure. Like, yeah, I definitely think that could be part of it. I think she would be, I think the risk is you don't want your partner throwing you in to get rid of you, which right. Fessy, I think, demonstrated a willingness to do. But mm-hmm. I don't think it's insane because they still have a good working relationship. They still have a friendship. It's not like picking Tori when you're Devin or whatever, something even worse than that. Kyle and Cam, you know, like, but it was like a little sad.
Yeah. Oh, I really can't believe she took a bet. That was stunning. Especially the way Fessy ditched her last time, that she was like, come back around the, oh, you come on back. Lassoed him back in. You're coming back.
Casey back with Leroy, though. I'm excited to see them reunited.
Yeah, they're Leroy. Again, like, he kind of worked out. When you lose your partner, it can go anyway. The fact that he ends up with Casey, that works out pretty well for him. So Leroy's had a lot of bad luck over the years. He's catching a few breaks this season, at least.
I love when Leroy goes loser to Devin with the L on his forehead. That was so great.
Yep, but Devin's rogue, and that's, I guess, his plan.
All right, next week we're going to talk about a mini final, which is famously one of our favorite challenges on the Challenger Hop Up. We love a mini final, which for any new viewers, like, the final is a marathon, and there are... Actually, I feel like they don't normally call it a mini final, but they did name check. Maybe they did. I don't know. I don't care. Mm-hmm. They are going to do some marathon type challenge, which will be one of the first challenges where we'll be able to see someone's chops, someone's final potential. So I'm very excited for next week.
Yeah, it'll be great to see. And we're going to get to social media and all of our segments right after this break.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
All right, we're back. Where do we want to start?
Well, I have a question from Joseph Dunn. Hi, I'm a new listener to the show. I'm new to the show. Welcome, Joseph. Happy to have you here. And starting in season 25, I noticed that your podcast starts on season 26, week 11. Seems very random. Are there any before that? So we've gotten some questions on how to listen now that the challenge is back and available to people. Old seasons of the challenge are available. I think two are on Netflix, a bunch are on CBS All Access. Is that who has them?
Yeah, I think so. Are they on Hulu or Prime too? They're all over.
They're just out, baby. They're out there and they're loving every minute of it. So I got some questions like this where it's like, oh, the tag for the challenge is only goes back so far. But if you click one of our names, like if you click my name, why wouldn't you? And you go to last, the first challenge episode that you can watch is interesting. Challenge Invasion, episode one. I thought I looked into this. Well, what season was Invasion?
Is that the one? Was that the one right after Free Agents?
I don't know. I was hoping you'd Google.
Okay.
Challenge number? Well, I chop it up here in the chat.
I was typing Survivor. My God, my brain.
Okay. We are doing our best. But if you go
Challenge
to Rob
Invasion was, oh my God, it's just showing the number of episodes of contestants.
Oh,
season number 29.
Okay. And Free Agents was what?
I think Free Agents was 28. That sounds actually really familiar.
So I thought they said you could get season 26. All right. If you want something done right, ladies, do it yourself.
I was way off. Free Agents was 29.
Just
free
happened.
Agents was 25.
Oh my God, get out of here.
Well, 29, there's no way 29 just happened. We're on like 36.
Well, no, but in terms of like our lives, like the XXX was like, I was in law school or whatever. All right, the challenge. So our origin story is we started sort of like midway through the challenge Free Agents, which is season, whatever you just said.
25.
And 25. I will look into why that's no longer available on Rob as a podcast, because it should be. But as far back as you can go right now on our old coverage is season 29. We'd love you to jump in and remind us of the dumb stuff we said. That would be hilarious, I'm sure. I see if you go to just the challenge tags, you can go see there's some Battle of the X's, there's some Bloodline. So we're out here. We're on the internet somewhere. I will ask the powers that be if we could get a better idea of how to find those things for you. But we were young, you know. This was almost 7 years ago. I'm really rounding up. It was six and a half years ago.
2014, middle of 2014. Crazy.
All right. Maybe one day we'll do a podcast where we listen to our first episode.
Oh yeah. God, that sounds horrific.
We'll stream on Twitch. We'll watch our listen to our first episode.
Oh boy.
All right. Let's go to whatever you want. Dealer's choice. What do you want to talk about?
I got the drinking game stuff right here. So we could start with
beautiful.
That. Kyle Picard. So there was eight this week.
Like what about him? Thank you, Chief Party Officer. You just go Kyle Picard. Okay. Like are you calling him at a deli? Like what is a sandwich ready?
Looks to the cookie. Okay. One time Cheesy offering his opinion, saying Anissa deserves more respect. One time someone's wanting revenge, Corey votes for Fessy because he did what he did with Nelson. Two times people in bed, CT and Fessy. One this is good moment, Ashley coming back.
Okay, and I like that we get to see inside to what Kyle thinks about it.
He knows two partner switches. He says Corey and Ashley is a partner switch. That's not a partner switch, Kyle. I'm sorry. I'm striking that down.
Do you even listen to this podcast, Kyle? Your sandwich is no longer ready at the deli.
One partner switch just with Anissa and Fessy. And then one time, Nam melting your heart the way he cheered on Jay and Teresa after him and Lolo were eliminated. So seven this week, not eight.
I normally don't like to argue with Kyle, but I have to because I have money on the line here. I have $5 on it. Sorry, Kyle. Yes, you blew it.
The only switches happen when you win the elimination and you have your choice. That is the only option for a switch.
And you pick to infiltrate, like not just when you have the option.
Right, when you execute the option. Right. Yes.
All right. I have kind of a lame rule, but anytime someone says a nickname, this was inspired by Little Amber. That made me laugh. So, you know, Kyle will decide if Big T, CT, and Fessy are considered nicknames. Killer Cam, definitely. Millionaire Mitchell, Little Amber, those kinds of things.
I like it. For me, this is just very specific to the like the daily, but anytime you don't know why someone's doing something in the daily, you're confused, you should take a drink. So anytime anyone was pulling the rope, anytime anyone was pulling the rope to start the challenge, because I didn't know what it was for, you
take a drink. Good luck, Kyle. I like those rules. New segment, the tags of the week. I don't know what we're going to call it, but I have to say, I apologize, deepest apologies to a friend of the podcast, Johnny Langan, who apparently texted me and Molly Block about how hilarious the tags were on MTV.com, and I forgot and did not give him any credit. So I'm going to ask Brian if you could even guess one of the tags on this week. So they're not as funny, but I think it'll be fun if you guess.
So guessing one, royalty get tagged for Big T being like the queen?
No, but there is something that is like explicit word that gets associated with Big T on this episode that is tagged.
Was bitch tagged?
No, what?
I don't know. You said an explicit word. What's the explicit word?
Not an explicit word. Like a word that there's a specific word that like explicitly relates to her.
Oh,
I was like, what the heck?
Did they tag the Alliance name, the Itty Meaty Mighty Mo group?
No. One more guess, and then I'll give it to you.
Do they tag, hanging off a cliff?
We'll give it to you. They tagged fear of heights.
Fear of heights. So okay.
Confrontation, voting, elimination round, teamwork, fear of heights, VIP is what we were looking for.
VIP, okay.
And best friends. I love
Alrighty.
It.
Alrighty. Is there a limit? Like, was that like a specific number? Do I wonder if they always have like
I don't a, know. Ryan, I deleted the tab. Well, ask Johnny.
Okay.
Let's get to the Soch. Thank you to Digital Communications Manager Megan Elizabeth. Here we go. Kemi from Big Brother fame said Corey's curls are bouncing tonight. Yeah, they were. Ashley says, lol, y'all big mad, huh? You need my commentary, so sit down and be quiet, especially the locals. Kiss emoji, blah emoji, a heart emoji. Cam says, all the girls in my heat kept cheering for Big T to hold on and yelling that she's not a layup. So happy she won. Rosy cheek smile emoji. I haven't read emojis in a while. Ashley says, my belly button was the star of that scene. Laugh cry emoji. Okay, I'm kidding. I'm being full of myself. I'm just so happy to be back. Pound your head on the desk emoji. I'm grateful. I'm blessed. I am lucky. Maybe that's like a bow down emoji. I know this. I prayed for this. Prayer hands emoji. Thank you. At MTV. Good for her. And then as Megan says, oh, hey, Teresa's pregnant with number three. Teresa posts a little baby bump looking cute, says disclaimer. No, I was not pregnant while filming the challenge. Got pregnant 5 days after getting home. Wink emoji. Showing much earlier this time around because third pregnancy, my abs already have been well stretched from the other babies. Heart emoji. And this is from last week, but Megan liked it. Too good not to include. Jemmy tweeted a wow, this is boring gif and said me watching this episode. And Teresa said, girl, being there was worse. I'd look around like, is this really all we got to give? Have y'all not made any TV before? But don't worry. I peeped it too and made the recycling emoji. Shush emoji. Keep the energy. Dazzle emoji. Whoa. Okay.
What's the dazzle emoji?
Like sparkles. I think people say sparkles.
Okay. Sparks fly.
Okay. So thank you to Megan. Thank you to the people who tweet. We love you. 5-star reviewers. Speaking of we love you. Thank you so much. It really means the world. It's so exciting to like check and see people popping up and being like, we loved it. This was great. We love to see it, honestly. So thank you to Andy JF, D13QRS, Graham Petty, Benjamin HK01, and San Diego Golfer. We really appreciate it. If you want to let us know how you're feeling, hot, 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 you could go to robhaswebsite.com/challenge iTunes and subscribe and let us know what's up with you.
How close are we to our goal?
We smashed it. We didn't check, but I thought it was like 700. We're at 736.
I thought we had like another goal for like the end of the year, or is just the end of the year goal?
No,
end of the season goal.
I'm get too scared to make an end of the season goal unless it was going to be like 737.
Okay.
I mean, we're close. We're close to like a 750. I feel like we could definitely get to 750 in the next few episodes, but let's just see what comes. Come what may. Brian, if you want to set a goal, I will support you in that goal.
Let's shoot for the stars. Let's get to 800 by the end of the season.
Get the hell out of here, Brian. Part of it is knowing you're going to make it. You're going to get 70 reviews in 10 more episodes.
I think we got like 15 more episodes.
14 more episodes, yeah. No, I don't. I do not sanction. I lied to you. I don't support it. I don't sanction it.
So what happens? You give me power. I'm the VIP. This is my bottle service. I want 800.
Look, I'm very good at very few things. One of those things is soliciting reviews for this podcast. We crush it. We crush these reviews.
Don't start like when you're good at like soliciting. That's a very dangerous first word to say when you're very good at.
All right, let's talk about the must lose draft. The other thing I'm good at is picking losers. Tell them, Brian, how good I am at picking losers.
I'm doing this podcast with you, so you're great.
I didn't pick you, famously. Let's thank Kate and Stuart and Matt, our DDs, cleaning up after the drinking game on a Zamboni. Do you have the chart, Brian?
Yes, I do.
Read it and weep. I am pulling you like Big T over the cliff. I am the CT. You are the Big T. And yes, we're crushing it.
So you picked up in this. All right, so you're at 9. I'm at 5.
Ooh, ooh.
So we're at 14 combined. Matt is at 4, and not me. Again, not me. The other Brian, who is not me, has 7. So they're at 11.
I mean, good, better luck next time, boys. We pick losers, baby. But that's
so this, let me go through this. So this week, Natalie had 2, obviously for a non-elimination leaving. Tori had 1 for elimination loss, and Anissa lost 1 for elimination win, and that was it. Nothing else. Everyone had a confessional. So shout out to everyone on the cast, and that's it.
Shout out to the cast. Shout out to my other podcast, The Lesser Podcast, The Ugly Stepchild, The Baby of the Family. I don't know. I love it. NGOG. If you're interested in listening to me and Akiva Winokur talk about a show that was on the air in 2011, 2012, and called New Girl, you could join us at anchor.fm/newgirl, old guy, or don't. What do I care?
So what's on next week's New Girl episode you're going to talk about that could possibly blend into the challenge?
It's called Tomatoes, and if you think I watched it the week before we're going to record, you're mistaken.
I'll say this. If they have a food fight in next episode of The Challenge and tomatoes are being thrown, there is some witchcraft theory going around.
I know what the episode's about, but I forget because the title doesn't help. So thank you for putting me on the spot, Brian. If you want more fun, great New Girl knowledge takes like this, check us out.
It's a great listen.
It's okay.
That's a great lesson.
This week, this week our best episode ever.
I love your little cut-ins. I get so excited when I hear Allie from the Editing World. It's great. So much fun.
I really do wish that I had the ability to edit this podcast with any skill.
I do not.
What
that
do you mean?
Not go well. I don't want even more ways for you to. You would own me in the editing room. I don't need that. I don't need that.
No. People don't think, and I want to be clear, this podcast is edited too professionally for me to do it. That's not like, oh, I wish I could make this better. I would not. I would make it much, much worse. But people think because I edit it and because I put in little jokes about Akiva that like I'm setting him up. Believe me, the man has gotten edited very favorably. I've deleted several things from the podcast.
Does Akiva have a winner's edit going?
Yeah, he's got a big winner's edit, big winner's energy. And, And if he asks me to take something out, I take it out. I don't leave stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
There, so you, there you go.
All right. Episode 5 in the books. Anything else?
Only 5? No, this was fun. This was, this, we're back, baby. We're back. The world's still terrible, but we're back.
Yeah, we got Big T. That's all we need. Well, maybe a little bit more. But we got her at least, so that's good. We'll be back next week for episode 6. Until then, have a good one.